Now it's my pleasure to say good morning to Chris Palmer. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you've come along to tell us something about the Chione project.
Yeah, thank you. The Chione Japan project is just a project that Kazu Nakagawa, myself and Jackie O'Brien here on the island started. And it's really just to help support those in Japan who have, you know, been through the earthquake and the tsunami affected area of Sendai. So, and it's not a charity in the sense that we're sending money or concrete or steel or anything. We're actually just supporting them, and it's done in a bit of a creative sort of way. So,
okay. So, what sort of things do you support them with?
Okay. The idea we had at the start was that we didn't have much money. We had no money to start with, and we also were scratching our brains on how to kick off the project and, you know, work out a way that we can help here from Waiheke. And Kazu had, I think, 108 umbrellas left over from his last exhibition at the Sculpture on the Gulf here on Waiheke. And he said to me, he said, look, that's all I've got. I haven't got any cash, but if we can turn those umbrellas into something that supports the people of Japan, you know, let's have a crack at it. So we came up with a way that if people donated $100 for those umbrellas, we would turn those umbrellas into T-shirts and, well, with the money. And one T-shirt goes to Japan when someone donates money, and one T-shirt stays here in New Zealand. And the person, the recipient in Japan, feels that they are connected, if you like, by somebody wearing that same T-shirt on the other side of the world. So it's really a moral support. It's not a tangible thing. I mean, the T-shirt's probably not going to make much difference in their life, but really it's more just a metaphorical and emotional support.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, an excellent idea. And I guess this the area of Japan you're talking about, is it an island, is it?
Well, initially we sent the T-shirts to a city called Kesanuma City, and that city we'd identified because Kazu on the internet found a fellow that he went to university with, and he happens to be the mayor of that city now. So that was quite a neat little connection. So we sent the T-shirts, I think last year we sent 400 T-shirts nearly to that city, and they've been distributed around schools and things like that. But we were just looking at the internet a month or so ago at that city where we'd sent the T-shirts, and we discovered that there's an island just off the harbour of that city, because it's a coastal city, of course, being affected by the tsunami. And so we did a bit more search on Google about what is that island and how many people live there and so on. And we just really, I think, we'd wanted to find a way that we could help another community the same size as our own community. And it was just good fortune that we found this little island called Oshima. And it's got a population of about 3,200 people. So it's quite neat. We're very excited that, you know, we can help island to island and make this thing, you know, more community-based, where people of Waiheke can help the people of Oshima, and it can be some lovely cultural exchanges perhaps and all sorts of things. So we're quite excited by the possibilities.
Yes, indeed. And do the people that you give the T-shirts to have any connection or know who the person who's wearing it in New Zealand is or on the island is?
No, they don't really. I mean, we've looked into ways of enabling that to happen, maybe by identification numbers on the T-shirt, and we can have maybe a weblog or something like that to enable the person in Japan to say, well, we know it's a Mr. Brown or a Mrs. Smith who's donated that.
Right.
But we've also thought about the possibility, how would I say, that the fact that it's anonymous is quite nice too. It just leaves it to the imagination.
Yeah.
And so the person over there, the recipient of the T-shirt, can just sort of imagine who it might be that's given the T-shirt over here and so on. So in some ways, the fact that it's imaginary is almost more magical, really.
Yes. And is that one of the T-shirts you're wearing at the moment?
Well in fact, this T-shirt is one that Kazu just brought back last week from this island called Oshima. And it's was given to him by a group called the Idiots Unit, which is a local group. And we can really identify with that unit, of course. And they're doing their best to help their own community clean up. So we're very keen to help that group called the Idiots Unit, and, you know, from idiots to idiots.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Nice to know we've got some fellows out there. And welcome to Kazu. Can you translate what's on the T-shirt for me? Yeah. Can you translate what's on the T-shirt for me?
This says name of the city and name of the island. And the back of the T-shirt, there is a word called hard one.
Hard one.
Hard.
One hard, right. Actually, I don't think that microphone is working terribly well because you're quite close to it and we can't really hear you. Can you get a bit closer than that?
Yeah.
No, that's still not terribly good, is it? So, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, now, Kazu, you've just come back from the quake-affected area. Is it of Tohoku Sendai region?
Yes, I visited that region, and particularly the small city called Kesennuma, which I went with my son, Ku.
How old is your son?
He's 18 now.
Right, so it would have been a very emotional trip, I would expect, for both of you.
Yes, maybe particularly for my son. He was so quiet through those 3 days.
Did you have any idea of what you were going to be going to? Or did it come as a bit of a shock when you actually saw the devastation?
I can't say it was devastation anymore, because like anywhere in that country, they are so tidy, and they tidy up everything they could. And all those many things being washed off was already being piled in a particular corner. And people are very positive, and particularly for the little one, when we met them, they were so content and looked happy. But that shows how they have been developed their courage through those difficult times, which our project, our supporters, be able to something to back up.
Yes, that's right. I guess they've got to start the rebuilding process now. Are they planning to rebuild where the towns were before, or are they going to go further inland?
Yes. As far as I know, the city, Kesennuma, they want to build the only industrial area where the tsunami hit, on the place where the tsunami took over. But residential area got to be somewhere more high up to keep safe. So during the daytime, they can still work in the close to the place close to the coast. But because it's daytime, they can have a time to escape. But during the night, they need to stay somewhere safer. That's how the city wants to plan. But of course, people had lived their own land for long, many, many generations. Most of people don't want to move. That's another issue for them, which is really understandable.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we all identify with that, don't we? And people in Christchurch, for instance, who've lived there for generations, don't want to move out either.
Yes, the same, yeah.
Yeah. Are they still suffering aftershocks like Christchurch is?
Yes, they are. They do, yeah. Always.
Right, because we don't hear about that, of course. Now that the main event is over, we hear very little about what's happening there now. I suppose it's not newsworthy, which is a bit of a shame, because it really is, isn't it? And to see them rebuilding and replanning is an inspiration.
Very much so.
Yeah. So what the project, Chiomo project, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Chiomo Project Japan.
How did that come about?
Well, after the earthquake and tsunami on the 11th of March last year, I was scratching my brain to come up with an idea of what to do to help, because my wife's Japanese and our children are obviously half Japanese, and Kazu was thinking the same, and Kazu called me and he said, look, I've got this idea, but I don't know where to go with it or how to start it. And we sort of put our ideas together, but mainly this is Kazu's idea. I know he won't want to take credit for it, but we've actually followed through on really what Kazu's basic idea was. And it really appealed to me, and it really appealed to Jackie O'Brien as well, in the sense that Project Chione Japan operates in a different way than most charities. We didn't ever want to be a charity that just sent money, or we're not the Red Cross or World Fund for Children or something like that. You know, we really are just a very small group of volunteers, and with limited resources. But we just wanted to provide moral support. We just thought that the people in Japan would be, in trauma for some time. Even if their houses get rebuilt, and even if they go back to work and they appear to have resumed a normal life, there would have to be some ongoing need for emotional support, and that could take many, many years, and particularly for children, and particularly children who've lost relatives and friends and so on. So that's really the basis of what we do, is just we're providing emotional support, and we hope that we fill a bit of a gap between other charities, I guess.
It sounds like a great idea, because that's often something that's overlooked in these things, isn't it? People donate money and clothes and things and think they're helping, which they are, of course.
That's
But it's the emotional side of it that's equally difficult.
That's right. And we imagine this project of ours to go on for many years. It's not a project that's going to come to an end in a year's time or 2 years' time, or when the last building has been replaced. We just imagine it will sort of organically go on for quite some time.
Right. Yes.
And particularly now that we've found this island, Oshima, we imagine that the cultural ties between Waiheke and Oshima will develop into something that, we can't even imagine now.
Yes.
Perhaps school exchanges and artist exchanges and, all sorts of things.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, it's quite exciting.
Yes. Yes. You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, your community radio, and we're talking to Chris Palmer and Kazu Nakagawa about the Chione Project, which was related to the Japan tsunami and supporting the people who suffered through that time almost a year ago, or a year tomorrow.
Exactly.
And, of course, you've got the commemoration done on Oniroa Beach tomorrow. Tell us something about that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's just an event which we really... it's an acknowledgement, obviously, of the commemoration of the day itself. It's a year tomorrow since the tsunami and earthquake. But we wanted to do it in a more sort of Kiwi style. We're going to... excuse me. We're going to have a solemn part where we do a silent sort of contemplation standing in the water, like we've done in previous events. And that's really just to quieten our minds down, to pay respect, I suppose, to what's happened. It is a very solemn thing, obviously, that's happened. There's 3,000-odd people being killed and many more... 18,000 killed and 3,000 still missing. So, it's a colossal tragedy. So we want to pay respect, but we don't want it to be too solemn past the contemplation part of our event. So we just want to, after that, get together as a group and almost pay our respects in the way that we would do it naturally here in New Zealand, which is just we want to have a picnic / barbecue on the beach afterwards, and there's a little bit of music and, catching up with people and talking and sharing our thoughts and so on. So
what time does that start?
Well, that starts at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And it's at the barbecue area?
At the barbecue end of Oniroa Beach.
Okay, which is when you come down the road.
Yes.
It's the far end?
It's the sort of western end of the beach.
The western end of the beach, okay. Yeah. And that's from 11 o'clock tomorrow.
From 11 o'clock. And we imagine that'll go for a few hours.
Yeah, that's great. And it'd be great for a family event.
Yes, yeah. The other thing that we're going to do tomorrow, Jan, is we're going to create these little bamboo boats, which is a traditional Japanese, it's almost like origami with bamboo leaves, and making these little boats, which are like little wokas, and if people want to put a little message or something like that, we're just going to float them out on the high tide, on the outgoing tide.
Right.
So it just to add a little dimension to the...
Yeah.
And it'd be great for kids. Kids will have a lot of fun launching them out there and making them and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. What a good idea.
Thank you. That's great.
Now, apart from the T-shirt exchange, what other things are you doing to support these people?
Well, at this point, it is just the T-shirt exchange, but we imagine that might grow into something more as time goes on, as we develop that relationship with the community of Oshima. As I said, that might turn into cultural exchange whereby some school students come to Waiheke and some Waiheke kids go there. It sort of opens up a lot of possibilities for, you know, Waiheke kids here to get involved in supporting something overseas and to share a bit of our culture here with them and vice versa. And so we're sort of hoping that the schools on the island pick it up and turn it into a bit of an educational slash cultural, you know, exchange program. Mm. And as I said, the possibilities are quite large there.
They are, and that's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And of course, with Kazu's connections in the art world, the exchange for artists and would be great too, wouldn't it? If we could have an artist in residence here or something of that sort.
Yes, I guess so. When I visited them, they particularly ask about such things because they say they don't have much artists there. Okay. But we have a lot here, so yeah, that's another possibility.
Yes, that'd be great.
Yes.
And did you find any inspiration for your art when you went back there this time around that you might be doing for an exhibition in the future?
Yes, in a way, but not showing my work. But I believe this connection between those here, people, us, and there, them, the making connection is actually, I want to call my art.
Yes. Righto. Yes. Well, that it is, in a way, isn't it? It's a...
Yeah, it is invisible, but that's something that you can feel in your heart, solidly.
Mm. Mm.
That's my sculpture.
Ah, yes, indeed. That's great. So, did I understand you saying that there aren't a lot of artists?
They say they don't have much artistic talent there.
Are they being modest?
Of course.
Yes. So maybe we need to encourage them to.
Mm. Yeah, that's another thing that we can exchange those our positive, outgoing nature to them and their reservation nature. We can also learn from.
Yes, exactly. Well, perhaps that's something that that children could do, is do an art, you know, a drawing and send it over to a Japanese child and they could send one back.
Yeah, that's another possibility, and that's probably most kids would love them to do it.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And they will know about these... they'll know about the boats, will they? You'll tell them about the boats?
Well, we're hoping to take some photos and video tomorrow. And we'll email that to this idiots unit in on Oshima Island, and they'll distribute it, no doubt, and show their community from there. So they'll know about us. Just one thing that's just sprung to mind: Kazu was saying to me the other day when he met with these a few people from this thing called the idiots unit on Oshima Island. They were actually quite overwhelmed and emotional, and Kazu said that they were quite, one man was quite tearful that somebody from so far away would make the effort to come there and be interested in them and interested in helping them. Because one thing that this island has been challenged by is that it's set off the coast of this island, off Kesanuma City. And when the earthquake and tsunami struck, for the first week they had no outside help on this island. And the entire community they had no water because they're on reticulated water from the nearest town on the mainland. So their water was cut off probably because of the earthquake. And they had to resort to using the water in the local school swimming pool for the first week. And if you've got 3,200 people using one swimming pool full of water, it's not a lot of water per person, I wouldn't think, for a week. So it sort of gives you an idea the challenges that they have faced. And by contrast, to receive some genuine interest from the outside world and from so far away was really quite touching and moving for them. So, you know, we know that whatever we do is going to be very much appreciated and it is going to be of genuine help to them. So that makes it really interesting for us.
Yes, it does. Yep. And I guess that we could identify with them more than we may otherwise have done because we just suffered with the Christchurch quake.
Well, that's right.
If that hadn't happened, we may not have had the same understanding of what they were going through.
I think you're right. I mean, obviously, last year earthquakes were very topical and, you know, in terms of the imagery that we all saw on television just continually, it is something that enabled us to relate to it a little bit more, I think. But the sheer scale of it, it was quite frightening, as everybody knows.
Mm. Well, I think we were also very fortunate that the Christchurch quake didn't trigger a tsunami for us.
Very much so, yes. Yes. Yeah, very fortunate.
Yes, I mean, we could have been in the same situation, couldn't we?
Yes, yeah. So I don't know the difference between what happened, the number of victims from the earthquake relative to the tsunami, but the tsunami obviously just created massive destruction over there.
Mm. Yes, it was absolutely devastating, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Mm. Well, let's hope that the outreach from Waiheke Island, and it is just Waiheke, this project doesn't go further afield than that?
Well, at this stage it's just Waiheke because, as I said, we're only three trustees and we've got Amanda Weyers who's assisting us, and who knows where it's going to go. I mean, perhaps it might grow some legs and become, you know, develop further afield, and we'd obviously be very happy if that happened, but at this point it's just island to island, and we're happy with that, and we're just going to do the best we can, see where it goes.
And of course we're talking about the Chione project. What does Chione mean?
Chione means in Japanese forever. So wishing them to keep strength forever. That's what I wanted to say in this words.
That's great. Yeah, very appropriate, isn't it? And the Chione project tomorrow down at Oniroa Beach, 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock tomorrow.
11
yes.
o'clock at Oniroa by the barbecue, and it's going to be a commemoration and a time of fellowship, barbecue lunch.
Yes,
and get together to remember those who suffered in the Japanese tsunami last year, on the 11th of March last year, and to give them our moral support, which is the whole objective of the Chione project, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah, and to support those that have survived it as well. Yeah.
Do you have a website, or if anybody's interested in getting involved, how...
We do, Jan. Thank you for that. It's www.chione.org.nz.
Right, so it's N-E, not N-I.
C-H-I-Y-O-N-I dot right. org dot N-Z.
Right, www.chiyoni dot org dot N-Z.
Thank you, yes. Yeah.
And people can go online and register their interest if they want.
Very much so. They can go online, they can see what we're doing, they can see some photos of what we've done. They can donate if they want to on that site. And there's a few other bits and pieces of information on there.
That's so great.
And just if I can just say one thing, at the moment we're we've got a mini project within the project, if you like, of sending 160 T-shirts to all the school kids on Oshima Island. There's 90 in one school and 60 in another school. And within the next month, we're hoping to send 160 T-shirts. So we're, you know, vigorously raising funds for that project, and it's quite expensive. Obviously it costs us money to develop to print those T-shirts and purchase them, so anybody that can help with that, we'd be very, very grateful, and so with the people of Oshima, of course.
Yes, indeed. How much do the T-shirts cost?
We're just asking for a donation of $40 for a pair of T-shirts, and that the donor keeps one T-shirt to wear, and the other T-shirt goes to Japan.
All right.
So $40 for a pair of T-shirts.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah. What a good way to do it.
Yeah, thank you.
Because it's a visible thing, isn't
yes.
it? People wearing them, and you can show it. It was like the T-shirt that was designed for Christchurch, and how many of those popped up around the city.
That's right.
Just people showing their support, and especially for the people in Japan
yes,
who are wearing
yeah.
them, knowing somebody else is wearing
right.
them in, as well
that's right.
to support them.
And the T-shirt's got one of Kazu's designs of this umbrella.
Oh, great.
Which was from his last Sculpture on the Gulf
yes.
exhibition.
Yes.
So it all sort of ties in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Oh, excellent. Well, it's really good to talk to you too, and good luck with the Chione project.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure.
We've been talking to Chris Palmer and Kazu. I'm terribly sorry, Kazu, I'm going to mispronounce your name. Kazu Nakagawa. Thank you very much for coming in. And we encourage people to get down to Onewarra Beach tomorrow at 11 o'clock and support their project with a bit of Barbie on the beach, and the kids can kick a ball around and have a bit of fellowship in support of the people who suffered so much in Japan in the tsunami. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.